got to. All the trouble you put me through. 16 candles, they're on my wall. And here am I, the biggest fool of them.
And that wraps up the show for this week. What do we hear? We just heard Lord with Take Me to the River, and that's off of the forthcoming Stop Making Sense tribute album. And I really like that take of Take Me to the River. That's good stuff. Before that, a band that's going to be in town soon, Slow Pulp. They'll be opening up for Death Cab for Cutie and the Postal Service. That track was titled Slugs. And before that, Yule, the Singaporean artist, singing Sulky Baby. So, yeah, that wraps up the show this week. I hope you enjoyed it. And stick around. Quartz in Session is coming up with more rock. And until then, have a great week. Bye, everybody.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
Producer Pat was at the eclipse yesterday. Being at the eclipse is kind of a funny term. But anyway, he was in the path of totality, so we're going to hear from him on the bonus show. But I want to start today with some of the various ways in which the eclipse and a mere phenomenon of astronomy and physics seemingly broke the brains of so many of the people over at Fox News. And as I've said before, if all you've got is hammers, everything will look like a nail. And so many different Fox News hosts finding ways to tie the eclipse into the U.S.-Mexico border political controversy, to inject almost like one would bleach, like a cleaning, to inject statements about Joe Biden's handling of immigration into a discussion that really is about celestial bodies, where you can hit the body with a shadow. And, you know, so I was not in the path of totality. I saw the eclipse somewhere around 90-ish%. And as many of you know, New York and southern New England, kind of in the 88% to 93% coverage area, had friends who went north and sat in absolutely brutal traffic to get to that 100%. And let me give you some examples of the sort of commentary that we heard from some on the right. And then later we'll get to a weird comment from someone that I think is on the left, because nobody seemingly spared by this. Here is Fox News host Dana Perino, the former White House Secretary for President George W. Bush, saying that we have a celestial event colliding with policy failure at the southern border. This is really a reach. And I don't know if they sort of sit around and go, listen, our audience doesn't really care about astronomy and science, as evidenced by the fact that many of them support Trump. What can we come up with? How about talking about the southern border? Listen to this.
Rare celestial event collides with a policy failure on the ground. The right. southern border will be directly in the path of totality today when the moon wow. covers the sun for nearly 4 minutes. And welcome to a brand new hour of America's Newsroom. I'm Dana Perino. We are 1 hour closer.
We are. We are.
As we are. That's right. That, what is that it? Do you learn that in talking head school? To laugh in that particular way? Right, Dana.
A lot of buildup.
That's right. I'm Bill Hembrick. Good morning at home. But that is team totality on the other side of the wall, by the way.
What a studio they have.
Our folks at Fox Weather are dialed in on this.
So beautiful. So
don't overlook that. Check it out. We are told that officials are bracing for higher traffic than usual. And that means a real opportunity for smugglers and cartels and migrants to come right in.
Listen, we have the perfect storm of a rare celestial event and failed border policy. And while everyone, you know, those glasses, Dana, those glasses, Dana, are so dark that if Border Patrol is distracted with the eclipse glasses so that you don't sustain corneal damage, retinal damage, there may be smugglers who just during the path of totality, they might just smuggle on through. This is what we got from Fox News. They then went to Bill Malugan in Eagle Pass. And again, it's just so difficult. They have it better with regard to the eclipse on the other side of the border.
All right, Casey, thank you so much. Stay tuned.
All right. And now from Dallas to our southern border, where we're just minutes away until the eclipse crosses over into the United States from Mexico. Two of the places.
It's coming over like a caravan with no ID, no asylum claim, because Border Patrol has been neutered by Biden. They're going to let the eclipse just cross over without even going through a legal check.
Is where it will be seen first in its totality are places that are very familiar to you because of our coverage of immigration and the situation on the border. Del Rio, Texas, and Eagle Pass.
Right.
Our Bill Malugin is live in Eagle Pass. And Bill, you're going to get the very first look at the zone of totality before anybody else.
Wow.
Well, John, we hope we're going to get the first look. The weather doesn't look like it's going to cooperate so far. It's heavily overcast right now. It's forecasted to be overcast the rest of the day. We're starting to feel a little bit of light drizzle. But as you mentioned, Eagle Pass is going to be the first spot in all of the United States where totality is supposed to happen. That's supposed to happen around 2:27.
By the way, did you guys notice how even the way he says it's supposed to happen? As if we don't know exactly, you know, the science on this. They say, Bill Heber, it's supposed to happen it this way, but who knows really what's going to happen because it's just science. We don't know. It's just an opinion, right? At the end of the day, it's just the opinion of science. It's supposedly going to happen, but it might not.
PM Eastern time, so about an hour and 20 minutes from now. We'll give you a live look at the scene right now from our Fox News drone. Yeah. We're in the infamous Shelby Park, which, as everybody knows by now, has been completely locked down by the state of Texas. So there's no members of the general public down here coming out here to see this eclipse. They cannot get into this park. But
you know, the Mexicans are going to get a better view of this eclipse than we are because it's all locked down. No CK, by the way. It's locked down.
Across the river, we see what looks like a little bit of a party getting set up by folks on the Mexican side. They've got a stage set up. You might be able to hear some of the thumping music from my microphone right now. Thump. People are starting to post up chairs and towels on the edge of the river, looking this way, getting ready.
How dare they look this way?
Ready to watch this eclipse, but you can see the skies in the background. The weather right now does not look like it is going to be cooperating with us. It's heavy overcast. It does not look like it's going to be burning off anytime soon.
Anyway, you get it. You know, it's like they've got it better over on the Mexican side because of immigration. We've got a lockdown. Otherwise, we could have a nice watch party. And scientists supposedly say we're going to be in the path of totality. But, you know, how many times has science been wrong before? And it's all policy. The policy's broken and Biden's broken. Just reeks of desperation. And then just one more of these. I know that you're probably getting the point. Here is yet another example of just cudgeling in the Biden border crisis into Eclipse coverage.
Bill, wow. It's so interesting to hear the celebratory atmosphere down there because, you know, typically in your coverage from Eagle Pass over the last 4 years, nobody's been celebrating. So this really is unusual.
It's remarkable. It almost feels like it's like a rave going on out here, John. Across the river from us, we got flashing lights. We got a stage with music going on. Brian, do you want to show it real quick? Or we can maybe see it on the drone. But we got the drone in the air. But it is like, it feels like we're in the middle of the night out here now. It is absolutely.
Yeah. Normally a place where the coverage is quite dire because of where you are. It seems like things are kind of like okay right now, and that isn't very good. So listen, this is, I guess, what we would expect at this point. If your crowd is fixated on an issue you've put in their brains, which is the Biden border crisis, if they're skeptical of science, how do you cover it? I guess you cover it this way. And so that's how Fox News covered it. Now, many of you sent me the clip from The View we're about to look at, and we're going to do that justice as well. So let's discuss that next. On The View yesterday, host Sonny Hostin wrongly linked the eclipse to climate change. Now, I don't really understand whether Sonny Hostin is on the political left or on the political right. I thought that she was on the left. But then some people said, no, she's kind of more of a socially conservative voice on The View. I don't really know. This on your screen now is Alyssa Farah Griffin, who is a former Trump staffer and is someone that's on the right. So I don't know whether Sonny Hostin, who we're going to hear from in a moment, is on the left or on the right. It doesn't matter. OK, on The View yesterday, in the context of coverage of the eclipse, Sonny Hostin linked the eclipse and earthquakes to climate change. And this caused Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar to go, whoa, 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 no, 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 no. That you're confusing different things here. Let's take a listen. They also talked about the cicadas, which were wrongly referred to as locusts by some right wingers. We really are in strange time. You know, there was all this talk about the eclipse may cause really strange behavior. Your phone might behave weirdly and people might go crazy. None of it was based in reality. But for whatever reason, a lot of people just saying really strange things in the context of the eclipse. Let's listen to this one.
People are having all sorts of conspiracies about the end of the world. And then I read online that the earthquake epicenter was actually at Bedminster in New Jersey.
Right.
Fun fact. It originated with Trump.
I have to say, I know, right? I mean, I have to say, Karen Dupiche, our wonderful makeup artists, when the earthquake was happening, she put her coat on and she was like, Jesus is coming.
I'm out. I'm leaving.
Right. We've got,
like, is this a joke? Because that's a crazy thing to do.
Solar eclipse. We've got
the
earthquake.
Ran down the hallway. The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in
cicada,
like
cicada.
No. This is what I read.
Two different kinds of cicadas.
Yes, two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, you know better.
But in a way,
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists,
that's more
or something
point.
Is really
or the earth is returning.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground.
It happens.
And the eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen, and they actually can say when these things are going to happen. So all these folks who are saying, you know, it's a sign from God. God doesn't give you warning. Okay? You think he gave people at the Tower of Babel warning? Oh, I'm about to jack y'all up? No. God does stuff, and then you figure, oh, that's probably because I just, you know, I mean, it's no. But the cicadas come.
So anyway, both saying earthquakes and the eclipse have nothing to do with climate change. And Sonny Hostin does deserve to be mocked here. You know, there are so many things that are related to climate change. And again, I don't really know her politics. I guess maybe she's slightly more social conservative, but is not like the right winger on the panel. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter to me. We need to be precise. And if we want to talk about increased frequency of extreme weather events as connected to human activities on Earth, burning fossil fuels, OK, we can have that conversation. Let's stick to what is real. Certainly the eclipse has nothing to do with climate change. And also, you know, if you really want to dig deep, and I mean, we are digging deep here, you could this is so speculative. It's conceivably possible that sea level rise as a result of glacial melting, because water is denser than ice, could put more weight on the tectonic plates, which maybe could influence tectonic activity. I'm not even telling you this is. I'm saying if you had to come up with some hypothesis on earthquakes, maybe, and it is not something that has been definitively determined, but on the eclipse, it's a no. So Sunny Hostin, just no idea what she's talking about here. A lot of strange reactions to the eclipse, a lot of strange activity, but we survived it. It was interesting. And we will hear from producer Pat on the award-winning bonus show.
Oh, the bonus show where you want to make money.
Yes.
Everybody else that makes money to fund themselves is bad.
I expect, because of producer Pat's stories, that today's bonus show, a lot of money is going to be made, folks. A lot of money. So we'll hear from Pat later. Let's take a break. So much more coming up. I want to follow up to this politically earth-shattering. Speaking of earthquakes, this rocked the political world. Donald Trump putting out a video about abortion where he essentially says, whatever, as long as you vote for me, exceptions, no exceptions, one state wants this, one state wants that. As long as you vote for me, I don't really care. Angering people on all sides of the political spectrum, but most importantly, angering many people who plan to vote for him or publicly support him. I want to look at a fact check that CNN put out about Trump's speech, which misses a few critical things. Good for Jim Acosta here, fact checking some of the obvious stuff that Trump said in the video, but missing some elements. So let's listen to what Jim Acosta had to say, and then we'll discuss.
All right, fact check. Democrats do not believe in execution after birth, and the claim that both sides demanded the end of Roe versus Wade is completely false. In fact, new polling indicates the vast majority of Americans, including nearly half of Republicans, support a federally guaranteed right to abortion. Let's discuss.
Okay, so everything Jim Acosta says is correct there. Democrats do not believe in, nor does abortion after birth happen. It wouldn't be abortion. It would be execution. There's almost no abortions in the final trimester. When they happen, they are because of extraordinarily extenuating circumstances. Trump says everybody wanted to get rid of Roe v. Wade. That's absolutely not true. The right wing has been insisting that, listen, even pro-choice people want to get rid of Roe v. Wade so that then states can do whatever they want. If you're from a liberal state that wants even more permissive abortion law, you also would want to get rid of Roe v. Wade. Absolute lie. Roe v. Wade sets a minimum standard, not a maximum standard. So there would be nothing preventing a state from passing more progressive policy on abortion than what Roe v. Wade puts in place. That's absolutely untrue. And of course, abortion continues to be, it's weird to use the term popular because it's not like rah, rah abortion. What it's so popular, it's like LeBron James. It's more the idea that it more people than ever believe that it should be a legal choice available to people. Than ever before and during the Roe v. Wade era. That's all very true. But Jim Acosta misses two critical aspects of this fact check. The number one fact check is that Trump is ignoring when he brags about I'm responsible for overturning Roe v. Wade, thanks to the three Supreme Court justices that I nominated who ended up on the court. What's not part of Trump's analysis, if you can call it that, or Jim Acosta's fact check, is that Republicans have lost every abortion-related referendum. There were overt ones and there were implied ones by virtue of, for example, in Alabama, a Democrat and a Republican. Part of the Democrat winning there with the first net gain Democratic seat in decades is related to the IVF law that was passed, which is closely tied to reproductive rights, et cetera. A number of other examples, Ohio, Kansas, I'm struggling to remember all of them now. every instance of voters voting as tangentially related to Roe v. Wade being overturned since it was, has gone the wrong way. So Republicans are getting punished. Of course, that's missing from Trump's completely outrageous narrative that he put out yesterday on this issue. And the number two element of this fact check that's missing, and it is importantly missing, is that Trump is not really against abortion. No, I can't imagine anyone other than the most gullible anti-choicers who were desperate to believe whatever Trump says so that they feel OK having voted for him. Does anyone really believe Trump is suddenly against abortion? And I don't say this in the sense of we should support Trump because he's actually pro-choice. Trump has legislated and has acted and has selected Supreme Court justices as if he were against abortion. But don't we all know that the guy is not against abortion? It's just who will vote for me. Trump's entire life, 68 years at the point at which he said, oh, I'm against abortion, Trump was pro-choice. Trump said it clearly for decades in interviews. And we're supposed to believe that Trump had an awakening, a call to come to Jesus moment, maybe you would call it, just around the time that he decided to run for president as a Republican, where he met a kid he liked. And the mom said, it once occurred to me to have an abortion, but I didn't. And Trump said, wow, this kid almost wasn't a kid and I like him. So I am now strongly against abortion. Who believes that? And of course, Trump's video yesterday only confirms that, with Trump essentially saying, you know, now with Roe v. Wade gone, give me credit for Roe v. Wade being gone. Now states can do whatever they want. What's right for one state won't necessarily be right for another. And now everybody can be happy or whatever, but make sure that you vote for me. Critical aspect, a critical aspect of the fact check that was missing. And very quickly, many Republicans are turning on Trump over his declaration yesterday. Let's talk about that next. Former Vice President Mike Pence and many others coming out furious about what Donald Trump said about abortion yesterday. A video Trump released, which we'll look at in a moment again. Actually, let's look at the video now. Reminding you, Trump coming out with a message that is essentially vote for me. I got vote Roe v. Wade overturned, but different states will do different things. I'm really good. Just make sure you vote for me. That was the message.
My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both. And whatever they decide must be the law of the land. In this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks or some will have more conservative than others. And that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people.
Right. And it's all about, I have no real core belief on this other than the fact that I've been pro-choice my whole life. Just make sure you vote for me and you praise me for everything good in your life and you blame Biden for everything bad in your life. So we now get to former Vice President Mike Pence, former Vice President Mike Pence and many of the other evangelicals who were bamboozled back in 2016. Remember, when we saw Trump insult Ted Cruz's wife's appearance and then somehow the evangelical supporters of Cruz got in line and supported Donald Trump, we knew they were being bamboozled. And indeed, the evangelicals of the Republican Party are now increasingly furious with Trump. Here is a tweet, or better called an excretion on X, from former Vice President Mike Pence, Trump's former vice president. Quote, President Trump's retreat on the right to life is a slap in the face to the millions of pro-life Americans who voted for him in 2016 and 2020. By nominating and standing by the confirmation of conservative justices, the Trump-Pence administration, see, Pence includes himself in that, the Trump-Pence administration helped send Roe v. Wade to the ash heap of history where it belongs and gave the pro-life movement the opportunity to compassionately support women and unborn children. In the landmark Dobbs decision, the Supreme Court returned the question of abortion to the states and the American people. The American people elect presidents, senators, and congressmen, and a majority of Americans long to see minimum national protections for the unborn in federal law. I don't think that's true, by the way. Pence continues, but today, too many Republican politicians are all too ready to wash their hands of the battle for life. Republicans win on life when we speak the truth boldly and stand on the principle that we all know to be true. Human life begins at conception and should be defended from womb to tomb. By the way, most Americans do not agree with that. Pence continues, however, much our Republican nominee, however much our Republican nominee or other candidates seek to marginalize the cause of life, I know pro-life Americans will never relent until we see the sanctity of life restored to the center of American law in every state in this country. So Pence has turned on Trump. And I know many of you might say, well, David, if Trump is actually pro-choice, like you say, why don't you support him? Remember, Trump is probably personally pro-choice. He still legislated and selected Supreme Court justices and would legislate in an extraordinarily anti-choice way. Biden, whose personal beliefs about abortion, my guess is he's not super hot on abortion, being a longtime actual practicing Catholic. Biden understands the difference between his personal view and what should be legislated. And so my view as to what should be the law is much more in line with the way Joe Biden is legislated than Trump. So this potentially an epic backfire for Donald Trump. We should celebrate this. Anything that is continuing to drive a wedge within and between Republicans and MAGA versus non-MAGA Republicans, all of it is hopefully, this is all upside. And what I mean by that is there are some political conflicts which could be bad for Joe Biden in terms of defeating Trump or not in November. Republicans furious with each other and with Trump about Trump's statement about abortion, which is tantamount to states can do whatever, just make sure you vote for me. That is only good for Joe Biden. Note, by the way, that Trump waited until the Republican primary was over to make this announcement, because, again, he suckered in those right wing evangelicals. They voted for him. Trump with 60% of the total Republican vote in the primary, including many, many, many evangelicals. And now he goes, whatever. States can do whatever they want. Just make damn sure that you vote for me. Well, we'll see what they do in November. But this is a delightful turn of events. Pence turning on Trump. Many evangelicals clearly doing the same. We have a newly released video from an advisor in New York State to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s presidential campaign. Video that they don't want you to see. Video that they've already had removed from YouTube, and that I don't know if they're going to come after us for publishing this video, but it must be done. Video in which a Robert F. Kennedy Jr. advisor says, here's how you can help Trump if you want to, because the real goal is to come together and to deny Joe Biden the presidency, to deny Joe Biden 270 electoral votes. Wow, 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 wow. The New Republic has a write-up about this. RFK Jr. advisor makes shocking admission about campaign's true goal. The goal isn't actually to become president. And it argues that Robert F. Kennedy has been described as a spoiler candidate, and that in a meeting with Republicans in New York, Rita Palma, an advisor to Kennedy, his New York director, said, our mutual enemy is Joe Biden. You don't tend to see campaign officials for one candidate telling voters, here's how you can help a different candidate in battleground states of all places. Here is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., state director, saying, you know what you can do in Pennsylvania? You can go and knock doors for Trump, and saying she's done it. Take a look at this. Take a listen to this.
If you want to help Trump, go to Pennsylvania, knock on doors. I did that in 16 and 20. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not because Pennsylvania is a battleground state. That's where the election is going to be lost or won, is in Pennsylvania. That's where it's all going to be decided. Well, no, I'm recommending that just because Trump is a lost cause in New York, in my humble view. But if you want to help him win the election, or if, you know, you support him as a candidate, hook up with the campaign, or there's a bunch of organizations that invade Pennsylvania 2 weeks before the election and hang door knockers or put things under doormats or whatever, you know. So I did it with a friend of mine. We went to Pennsylvania both elections to try to sway the election in Pennsylvania, two elections. So
they are very concerned about this video, and many instances of it have been pulled down from YouTube. We have more video. It actually gets even worse. And here, Rita Palma floats the idea that the goal is you've got to deny Biden the 270. Then maybe if Republicans win the House, you throw it to the House and then they can make Trump president. Take a look at this. And you might say, oh, this is Trump's state director, right? No. This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s state director in New York.
So there's no Biden voters in the House, right?
No.
Okay, good. Things, I guess, will change over time because you do have to only pick one candidate at the end of the day. But the Kennedy voter and the Trump voter, the enemy, our mutual enemy is Biden.
Really?
Since Biden is counting on us with Bobby in the mix, my thought is for the Republicans. See, Bobby right now, he's pulling from both sides. Right now, he's actually pulling a little bit more from Biden, which explains why the DNC is kind of ganging up on him.
And by the way, for people that aren't watching, there's a slide up on the screen. And the slide says in the third line, the best strategic opportunity to block Biden, not to win, not to do what's best for the country, but to block Biden, which has one result and one result only, 4 more years of the failed former president Donald Trump. Let's continue.
They have a special committee to go after independent candidates. Yeah, they say independent candidates, like non-affiliated candidates. They really mean Bobby, because Bobby's the only third party that anybody's taking seriously. So they developed a committee just to go after him and to get him off of the ballot in any way they can. Especially, it seems as though they're going after the battleground states more than the deep blue states. Bobby's moving the blues on his own. If the Republicans accepted the fact that New York, Maryland, Chicago, Illinois, California, New Jersey, Connecticut, most of the Northeast is going to go blue, why wouldn't we put our vote to Bobby
right,
and at least get rid of Biden and get those 28 electoral votes in New York? The card's a little wrong. It says 26 electoral votes. Give those 28 electoral votes to Bobby rather than to Biden, thereby reducing Biden's 270. And we all know how that works, right? 270 wins the election. If you don't get to 270, if nobody gets to 270, then Congress picks the president. So who are they going to pick? Who are they going to pick if it's a Republican Congress? They'll pick Trump. So we're rid of Biden either way.
We can work together. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. supporters and Trump supporters, let's work together to deny Biden the presidency. And then if we do that and Republicans win the House, they will select Donald Trump. Now, we've gone back and forth. Does RFK Jr. take more from Biden or does he take more from Trump? We've gone back and forth. And most recently, it seems pretty clear that he does take more from Biden, although not to a huge degree. My hope and my belief, and I think we're starting to see it in the polling, and I'll show you that in a moment, is that as more people understand what's really at stake here, I mean, listen, the math tells us that this is the reality. And Rita Palma is telling us that this is the reality. The best that RFK Jr. can hope to do is to deny Joe Biden the presidency, which would make Trump president. As more people become aware of this, I think the polling advantage for Trump, thanks to RFK, will diminish. And it's still the case. I mean, listen, let's look at a couple of examples. There's a Tip Insights poll. OK. In a head-to-head race, it's Biden plus 3. In a multi-way race that includes Kennedy, West, and Stein, it's tied. So here's an example where when you include third-party candidates, and the largest vote-getter in third-party candidates is Kennedy, when you include third-party candidates, Biden loses 3 points. However, there's an Emerson College poll where head-to-head, it's Trump plus 1, and with the third-party candidates, it's Trump plus 1. That is potentially a sign that the helpful impact to Trump of Kennedy is diminishing. There's also a data for progress poll where in a head-to-head matchup, it's Biden plus 1. In a matchup including Kennedy, West, Oliver, I don't even remember who Oliver is, and Stein, when you add the third-party candidates, it goes from Biden plus 1 to Trump plus 1, suggesting a 2-point swing in Trump's direction with the inclusion of third-party candidates. So let's recognize reality, and let's also think about what would be the ideal scenario. Reality is, it is still the case that on average, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. helps Trump by taking more from Biden than he does from Trump. The good news is that while he used to be polling 14, 16, even as high as 18, in increasing polls, Bobby Kennedy Jr. is in the single digits, which means his appeal is diminishing. And what we can hope for is that as Democratic voters realize that if they get sucked into this RFK Jr. thing, they're helping Donald Trump, they will disproportionately be the ones who get away from Kennedy and vote for Joe Biden instead. So that's where we are right now. Rita Palma is telling us up front, this is what she believes, this is what she wants. Let's take these people at their word. Failed former President Donald Trump losing it when a judge shot down his appeal with one simple sentence. This is, I know that it's really difficult at this point in time to keep track of all of the different trials, all of the different appeals, the instances where Trump says we will appeal this, but there is no mechanism for appealing certain decisions. So let's go to Newsweek and see what's going on. Donald Trump's appeal, brutally shot down by judge in one sentence. This is from this morning, and it reads, Donald Trump's attempt to delay his hush money trial scheduled for April 15 in Manhattan was shot down by a New York appeals court in one single sentence on Monday. The judge, Lizbeth Gonzalez, heard arguments from Trump's lawyers and representatives for the DA's office for and against pausing the trial and moving it to another location. Remember, this was Trump's request. He wants to delay the trial, pause it, and also a change of venue. The Trump's lawyer argued that Manhattan was heavily Democratic and a majority of its citizens believe the president is guilty, citing a survey. Now, this is sort of silly because you can still get there's plenty of Republicans in Manhattan. OK, even if it is overwhelmingly Democratic, you can, first of all, still find Republicans. And secondly, you don't actually to say that if there's Democrats on the jury, it's an unfair jury to Trump. But if there's Republicans, it's fair. You could argue that the Republicans are just as biased in favor of Trump as the Democrats are against. But more importantly, that's not actually the way juries work in the United States. The question is, are you an individual who can put whatever political biases? It's not that you're not allowed to have biases. Can you put them aside? Can you put them aside and decide a case just based on the facts and evidence as presented in the trial? So even the entire premise of requesting the change of venue on this basis is absurd. But Gonzalez issued a decision shortly after the hearing ended and wrote only, quote, defendant's application for a stay of trial pursuant to CPL subsection 230.3, pending the determination of defendant's motion for change of venue, is denied. It's that simple. It's that simple. Trump absolutely losing it on his platform, Truth Social, where he posted in all capital letters, simply election interference, three exclamation. There's exclamation points all over this thing. And then subsequently posting also in capital letters, also with three exclamation points, Biden trials, which I don't believe are forthcoming at this point in time. So, 6 days from now, Trump's hush money trial in New York scheduled to begin. What do you think? I mean, are there people in my audience who still think that Trump is somehow going to get this one delayed, or will Trump's trial start on? Hold on. It's Monday, right? Yeah. Will Trump's trial start Monday, April 15th? Let me know in a comment. Write into info@davidpakman.com. A toilet obsessed Donald Trump claimed at his fundraiser over the weekend that President Joe Biden defecated, soiled the Resolute desk at the White House. This is where we are. We continue to be perplexed and confused about Donald Trump's obsession with indoor plumbing. And, you know, there's just a lot of toilet stuff going on around Trump. The stacking of documents around his toilet at Mar-a-Lago, Trump claiming that under Biden, people would have to flush toilets 10 times, 15 times due to apparently decreased water pressure. Trump reportedly flushing classified documents in his personal commode at the White House. You know, it just there's a lot of plumbing stuff in Trump's mind. And the claim now is that Biden soiled the Resolute desk, literally. The New York Times reported on Trump's fundraiser. Trump at fundraiser, reads the headline, says he wants immigrants from, quote, nice countries. And if you read further down into this, a lot of Trump's comments at the fundraiser mirror what Trump has been saying in rallies. But there was one particular area that was really strange. Trump said, "The Resolute desk is beautiful. Ronald Reagan used it. Others used it." He then denigrated Biden, sounding disgusted, according to the attendee. Quote, "And he's using it. I might not use it the next time. It's been soiled. And I mean that literally, which is sad." The attendee who witnessed the moment said that dinner guests laughed and that Trump's remark was interpreted as Trump saying Biden defecated on the desk. This is the man that this is the man that tens of millions of Americans put their faith and trust in order to improve their lives, I guess, and represent the United States globally. And it's a complete and total embarrassment. I don't know how else to say it. It is a complete and total embarrassment. And Trump, I don't know where he gets this idea. I don't know whether all attendees really saw it as a literal statement. But as we've said before, allegations with MAGA are often confessions. The things they are obsessed with about others doing are often things they are doing. I'm not making any allegation about Trump and soiling desks, but it is really weird the degree to which Trump is obsessed with plumbing and toilets and flushing and the entire thing. So a strange comment, certainly. And, you know, my curiosity would be if you polled the people in that room, which I think was only about 100 people, really wealthy donors at this fundraiser. We talked about it. Of those 100, how many came away from this literally believing that Biden defecated on the Resolute desk? And as a curiosity, why is it that Trump would know this? Why is it that this information would get to Trump, but it hasn't otherwise been publicized? And this gets me to one other thing that I realized over the weekend. I haven't mentioned this, but it is worthy of mention in the broader conversation about the cognitive stuff that's going on alleged with Biden and Trump. One of the things we've seen with Trump is that many of the closest people to him have come out and said, this guy's unhinged. Something's wrong with him. He's not with it. He's losing it. He's dangerous. He's a danger to the country if he's in the Oval Office. No one close to Joe Biden has come out and said that any of the things that are being claimed about him are true. There has been no whistleblower from the Biden White House who has come out and said, you know what? It's true. He doesn't know what day it is. He needs to be led around by the hand so that he doesn't fall down or walk out of a window or forget that he's the president. Not a single person close to Biden has come out and said that. And so think of the cognitive dissonance and the doxastic closure that exists with these MAGAs who, in the presence of dozens of Trump officials who worked with him saying this guy's dangerously unhinged, they believe those are people who are simply disgruntled. And at the same time, in the complete absence of anyone close to Biden coming out and saying, you know, it's true, the rumors are true, not a single Biden staffer has come out and said that stuff, the MAGA people still believe the allegations against Biden, but deny the well-sourced claims about Donald Trump. Tells you a lot about how futile it is to try to change the minds of these people. Certainly something to think about. Let's talk about Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the actor and wrestler, I guess we would say. He endorsed Joe Biden in 2020, but made a statement on Fox News to Will Cain that it was a mistake to publicly endorse Joe Biden, that that was the wrong thing to do. Not necessarily that he doesn't believe that Joe Biden was the better choice, but that it was a mistake to say anything. Now, I couldn't disagree more with Dwayne Johnson. I'm going to tell you why in a moment, But let's first listen to what he had to say.
You made that endorsement in 2020. Are you happy with the state of America?
Am I happy with the state of America right now? Well, that answer is no. Do I believe we're going to get better? I believe in that. I'm an optimistic guy, and I believe we can get better. The endorsement that I made years ago with Biden was one I thought was the best decision for me at that time. And I thought back then, when we talk about, hey, you know, I'm in this position where I have some influence, and it's my job then. I felt like that then. It's my job now to exercise my influence and share with this is who I'm going to endorse. Am I going to do that again this year? That answer is no.
So he seems to basically be saying, I did say I had an opinion at the time. I stated my opinion because I believed it was the right thing to use my influence and visibility to say what I believe. And now he's not going to do it. My view is that it's never a mistake to speak out for what you think is best, first and foremost. Now, it is absolutely the case that at the same time, someone might speak out for what they think is best, and I might disagree, or you might disagree, and that might have repercussions. But there's sort of two different things here. The first is there's this kind of like shut up and dribble stuff we've heard about, oh, athletes should just play the game, play their sport, don't make political statements. And I've said, no. They should make political statements. They are completely entitled to use whatever platform they have to make whatever statement they want. If their employer, be it a sports team or if you work at a retail store, the management of the retail store, it could be the case that your employer sets limits on the while you are working political engagement. So this could apply to a basketball player while on the court. It could apply to a Best Buy or Home Depot employee while they are working. Okay, that's one thing. But I want to know what people believe in many cases. And if I find it despicable or deplorable, I can choose not to go to their movie or not to go to their game or whatever the case may be. So one thing about this is just because sometimes people in celebrity positions take a position I don't like doesn't mean I don't believe they should express their views. Now, it is true that there are situations where it could be inappropriate to express political beliefs. If I'm buying a car and the salesman goes into some political rant, arguably it's not appropriate to their role as car salespeople. But if it's important for them to tell me their political view, even though they may be fired because they're violating their employer's rules about political statements while working, they can do it. And then there may be repercussions. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is in a different position because of his elite status, prominence, massive personal brand and public influence. If he has a sincerely held view, the view in 2020 was Biden's better. Okay, so he made that statement publicly. If he has that view, I don't want him shutting up simply because he thinks it might be better to his brand not to potentially alienate half of the country. It's a choice he can make. He's completely entitled to make that choice. But knowing that he has an opinion, knowing that, by the way, we have such low voter turnout, you can make the case, I believe it's a good case, that when people like The Rock say, hey, I'm supporting someone, it increases civic engagement. It says to people, oh, The Rock votes, I should also vote. We're assuming that because he's made an endorsement that he votes, he may just make an endorsement and stay home. But the point is, seeing people like The Rock civically engaged might reach parts of society that are not planning to vote and get them to say, hey, I am going to vote. You can make the case that he has a moral responsibility, given that there would be essentially no downside to him. And even if there were, he's independently wealthy at this point and it wouldn't even matter. If he believes that there is a better choice here and he stays quiet and allows the country to suffer, you could argue that he's doing something wrong. So this is not about free speech versus not. This isn't about whether he has the right not to say anything. It's he has a massive platform. He's extraordinarily well-liked, I think. He seems to have an opinion about who's better, but he's saying that he's just going to opt out of making any endorsement whatsoever. And I apologize. I just punched my mic. I'm getting very, very agitated here. So I think that those are the critical things. It is a completely valid position for an entertainer to say, to avoid controversy, I'm going to keep my mouth shut, even if the country's worse off for it. I like the view better of what Taylor Swift has done, where in a documentary about her and just through her actions, she has said, and we can tell, she doesn't care about the repercussions of the advocating for civic engagement, her previous endorsement of Joe Biden. She doesn't care. She's saying, this is important to me. And even if I suffer to some degree, I'll be okay. If people don't, you know, if I have to sell out my shows with only half the country instead of 80% of it or 90% of it, I'll do it. I'll be fine. She has decided it's important enough that she's going to take the heat that she's taking. Dwayne The Rock Johnson taking a different view. I don't love it. Completely his right to do it. But since he has an opinion and he knows Biden's better than Trump for the country, or at least it seems as though that's the case based on the 2020 endorsement, I would like to hear him say it. A drunk Congresswoman, Lauren Boebert, was cut off by a bartender and reportedly humiliated herself, also with security trying to keep her away from Donald Trump at a Republican gala. This reportedly took place in December, but we're only learning about it now. And I'm going to tell you why I think this is relevant in a moment. Business Insider reports Lauren Boebert was cut off from drinking more alcohol at a Republican gala, according to a report, as controversies stack up ahead of her new election bid. Lauren Boebert was overserved alcohol and clashed with event staff at a Republican event in December, according to CNN. She was attending the New York Young Republican Club's annual gala when event staff cut her off from being served more alcohol, according to several witnesses. She was seated at the same table as Trump, and her attempts at snapping selfies with him prompted Trump security to ask her to stop. Let me tell you why this is relevant to me. It's not because we laugh at alcoholism. I don't know if Lauren Boebert is an alcoholic. Alcoholism is a disease, and it's not something that we laugh at or whatever the case may be. People like Lauren Boebert equate just about any failing to a personal moral failing. You end up in a situation where you think an abortion is the best thing to pursue. You failed morally. You're gay. You failed morally. You're unemployed. You failed morally. You're sick without health insurance. It's a moral failure for lacking insurance. It's nothing that the government or anyone else should be providing anything to you. She has made a career of telling everyone else all of their moral failings. And yet she is the one who is time after time after time behaving in a completely humiliating way that, by the way, it's not, I don't use the term pro-family and Christian family values or any of this stuff. She has attached herself to that set of beliefs, and it is humiliation after humiliation that by her own standards represent moral failings. And being drunk to the point where they say no more alcohol while seated at a table with a former president and having his security intervene and say, stop trying to take pictures with him. This is a failing by her own standards. And she still has the audacity and the gall to go around telling other people how they should live and telling other people how they should behave and telling other people their failings and successes based on her worldview, which she even fails to stick to. So it is a story of hypocrisy and double standards. It is a story of the failed ethical moral package that she and others like her claim to be putting forward. And it is a reminder that she really has no place in American government or in Congress. So we will hope that she does lose. She's in this very complicated situation now with the special election and the general election and the retiring. It's all a very complicated thing involving Ken Buck. We've talked about it. Whatever her path is, you know, it's like, I don't care how we get there, but the end point should be and hopefully will be she is no longer a member of the United States Congress. We have a voicemail number. That number is 219-2-DAVID-P. Here's a caller who didn't like when yesterday I presented the lack of evidence for Jesus's resurrection in a literal sense. This is a Christian caller who says, I did many things wrong yesterday by looking at the story of Jesus's resurrection.
Hey, David, longtime supporter of your show, a liberal and a Christian. You know, you attack the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the basis of Christian faith.
But so two things. First of all, I didn't attack the resurrection. I examined whether there's any non-biblical evidence of one of the claims. And secondly, this guy sounds a lot like William Lane Craig, I have to tell you.
And I support your show, and I'm sure you have a lot of other Christian supporters.
Yes.
I think it's pretty disrespectful that you attack our faith like that. Do you attack the Jews, Jewish, or the Muslim faith? I have not heard it. This was so disrespectful. And as a Christian supporter of your show, I hope you apologize.
Well, listen, I'm not going to apologize. I can issue a faux apology, like I'm sorry you were offended, but I don't think I did anything wrong. What I did yesterday was, in a very methodical and respectful way, say that one of the primary claims on which the resurrection story is based is the claim that Jesus's believed tomb was found empty in the days following Easter. In the days following him being placed in the tomb or around Easter. That's the claim. The tomb, Jesus was in the tomb and then the tomb was empty. What I did was examine whether there is any historical or archaeological evidence of that that comes from outside of sacred texts and the New Testament. To me, if the only evidence, quote, evidence for something is from the New Testament, I'm skeptical. What the caller seems to be saying is that it is disrespectful to even attempt to examine some of the claims of Christianity. It is a sacred cow of sorts. That's a term that's sometimes used. You simply cannot question or examine that belief. That's not the way this show operates. We can examine that belief. What about Judaism? We've examined Old Testament claims about Noah's Ark and the complete and total scientific implausibility of it for about a dozen different reasons. We've examined claims of Islam. To say that it is disrespectful to look at whether there's any evidence whatsoever other than so-called sacred texts for a claim that is made, in the world of empiricism and critical thinking, it's not disrespectful. And this is one of the big things that I've talked about before, which is that one of my problems with organized religion is it lacks a self-correction mechanism. And this is exactly it. If you want to examine whether some of the claims are true, there are gatekeepers who will say, just wanting to examine it is disrespectful. You can't do that. Not the way we do business here. We have a fantastic bonus show for you today. Producer Pat witnessed the totality of the solar eclipse yesterday. We will hear from him about how it went. I want to remind you that the latest children's book, Think Like a Voter, is available at davidpakman.com/book. I want to remind you that membership at joinpakman.com is the best way to support my work. And I also want to remind you that we are now publishing regular written opinion pieces every weekend to our Substack newsletter. And you can support the written work that we are doing by getting a Substack premium newsletter subscription. All great options for supporting our work. I'll see you on the bonus. Well, happy Eclipse Day, everybody. You know, there is no opportunity that is not going to be brazenly taken advantage of by a certain wing of the political spectrum with conspiracy theories and fear mongering, and if they can, the blaming of someone on the left for sure. And we have an example of that with the eclipse. We are going to look not only at Rudy Giuliani, but also at video of Marjorie Taylor Greene's boyfriend, Brian Glenn, who is also an anchor. Excuse me, I almost choked on his name. On the right wing Right Side Broadcasting Network, he is saying, look, you've got this rare eclipse. We had an earthquake in New York City. There's locusts, by which I guess he means the cicadas. I don't know. And it's all very suspicious and it could be sort of apocalyptic. And that's the context we have to understand this in. This is always a sort of overt or implicit alluding to apocalyptic rapture Christian type fire and brimstone sort of stuff. And here is Brian Glenn from his car levying a warning. There is nothing they won't try to take advantage of and or end up being confused by.
I want you guys to have a fantastic weekend, and here's why. This might be the last normal weekend that we have for quite some time. I mean, we've got this solar eclipse on Monday, this very rare solar eclipse. Who knows what the fallout from that will be?
I don't think there's going to be any fallout.
Plus, that will be combined with several earthquakes. We've already seen a few already. And why not sprinkle in this infestation of locusts? That have been dormant for years and all of a sudden will attack mankind. So why not? Oh, then throw in Joe Biden trying to get into a war with Iran for whatever reason he wants to do that. So on that note, have a great weekend. We'll see you next week or maybe not.
So, of course, you have confusion about some things, right? Like earthquakes happen. Eclipses follow a predictable pattern. We knew about this one for a while. There are no locusts. What Brian Glenn seems to be referring to is that there are cicada broods, and there's a 13-year life cycle brood and a 17-year life cycle brood, and they're overlapping this year. This happens every such number of years. And it always has to sort of push to, can we blame the left for anything? So he throws in a Biden geopolitical thing. And also, can we make some kind of reference to Bible scripture? And in this case, it's about locusts, because locusts are one of the plagues. Cicadas are not. But if you don't know the difference between locusts and cicadas, maybe it makes for some good fear mongering. And then as a bonus clip here, here is Rudy Giuliani also jumping in on this, saying that the earthquakes are God sending a message. It can't ever just be a probabilistic phenomenon where sometimes there are earthquakes and sometimes there are eclipses. It always has to be something. And here it is, a punishment from God for the communism of New York and California. Now, you might say, well, but California wasn't affected by this earthquake. No, but sometimes California does have earthquakes. So that's Rudy. Take a listen to this.
We left the communist state of New York. And then we were in the state of Connecticut, and we just escaped all of the earthquakes. And then we got to Massachusetts, which probably had some earthquakes. And we got to New Hampshire with no earthquakes, which is telling me that somebody's sending us a message.
Right.
Communist states are getting earthquakes. I think that's what the, I think, look at California. You can't have more earthquakes than California.
Right. Famously, communistic California, which is the tech center, arguably, of the world. Famously, communistic Massachusetts, which is a biotech hub for big pharma profits the world over. Famous communism. Famously, communistic Connecticut. Phil.
I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The Arizona Supreme Court issued a ruling that creates a near-total abortion ban in the state of Arizona. A ban with no exceptions for rape and incest. A ban that will apply to women before they even know they are pregnant. And threatens prison time for nurses and doctors.
Arizona's Supreme Court bars almost all abortions in the state by reviving an 1864 law passed before Arizona was a state and before women could even vote. We'll get the latest. Then President Biden calls Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's policies in Gaza a mistake.
I think what he's doing is a mistake. I don't agree with his approach. I think it's outrageous that those three vehicles were hit by drones and taken out.
We'll speak with Middle East analyst Muin Rabbani, and we'll be joined by two former Israeli soldiers, members of Breaking the Silence, an anti-occupation group led by veterans of the Israeli army. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In an historic ruling, Arizona's conservative Supreme Court has reinstated an 1864 law barring almost all abortions in the state. In its ruling, the court wrote, quote, "Physicians are now on notice that all abortions, except those necessary to save a woman's life, are illegal," unquote. The 160-year-old law predates Arizona becoming a state and was passed decades before women could even vote. While the court stayed its decision for 14 days, the ruling sent shockwaves across Arizona and the nation. President Biden slammed the ruling as extreme and dangerous. Arizona's Attorney General Chris Mays said she will not enforce it, saying, quote, "No woman or doctor will be prosecuted under this draconian law." Arizona's Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs vowed to protect abortion rights.
Arizona's 2022 abortion ban is extreme and hurts women. And the near-total Civil War-era ban that continues to hang over our heads only serves to create more chaos for women and doctors in our state. As governor, I promised I would do everything in my power to protect our reproductive freedoms.
Last week, the group Arizona for Abortion Access said it had collected enough signatures, over 500,000, to put a measure on the ballot in November to enshrine abortion rights in Arizona. Reproductive rights will also play a key role in Arizona's closely watched Senate race. Republican candidate Carrie Lake criticized the court's ruling Tuesday, even though just 2 years ago she called it a, quote, "great law." The Arizona ruling came just a day after Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump said abortion should be decided by the states. We'll have more on Arizona after headlines. President Biden's leveled some of his harshest criticism of Israel yet as the death toll in Gaza tops 33,300. In an interview with Univision, Biden directly criticized Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel's killing of 7 aid workers from World Central Kitchen last week.
I think what he's doing is a mistake. I don't agree with his approach. I think it's outrageous that those three vehicles were hit by drones and taken out on a highway where it wasn't like it was along the shore. It wasn't like there was a convoy moving here, et cetera. So what I'm calling for is for the Israelis to just call for a ceasefire, allow for the next 6-8 weeks total access to all food and medicine going into the country.
Biden's comments were made a week ago, but only aired on Univision on Tuesday. Palestinians in Gaza are making the end of Ramadan